Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God. Andy, I'm going to invite you up now. Great to have you with us. All yours.
Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for having us and for all the generous prayers and support we've had so far. This is a fantastic section of scripture. I think one of the best bits of advice I've been given about studying the Bible was someone just said, go read Ephesians five times in a row, back to back, just read it, and you'll benefit. And absolutely, I have. Let's pray together, and then we'll dig in more to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather. We pray that this time would be edifying, that what we hear would be faithful and beneficial, and your word and your spirit would grow us as we study this. Join us together in unity, in service, in love, to attain the fullest measure of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Imagine, if you would, a kingdom. Maybe some of you it'll be helpful to think of Lord of the Rings, of an elven kingdom, or maybe a beautiful place, rich in resources, in people, filled with culture, manufacturing, design, artists, all serving their king, all working in harmony with each other. The wonderful visions perhaps you have of heaven, of how life could and should be. Now imagine that kingdom run entirely by six-year-olds. Perhaps a handful of 10 or 12-year-olds amongst them, maybe an 18-year-old, but few, if any, mature fathers, mature parents, leaders, coaching them and helping them. Certainly, this isn't the kingdom we want to be a part of. Certainly, it's not what we want things to look like. But on earth, sometimes we feel that that's what it is. Sometimes it may feel like that's where we reside, and that's what it's not meant to be like. And if we're not mature, if we don't understand how things should be, you may not recognize that perhaps that's not where the fire is meant to be lit. Rachel and I are heading off to Vanuatu as missionaries. We're going to participate in what God is doing there in building his kingdom. We're going to be at a Bible college, and as we seek to raise leaders who will equip and raise more leaders, we have to ask ourselves what things are important in kingdom building. What things like languages that we host church in can change between cultures, and what things like the use of God's word are constant no matter what or where or when. Thankfully, scripture has a lot of wisdom in this area. Ephesians in particular, and the chapters leading up to this point, give us a focus on unity, on love for one another, on recognizing the power of Christ and the gifts that he bestows on his church so it can serve him well. And we see that Christ builds his kingdom by equipping the church with the means to grow in this maturity so that we can use the gifts he has given us well, in unity together. One of the ways that God does this, we see in verse 11, if you have your Bibles, keep them open, is through the blessing and provision of godly leaders. Now, the apostles and prophets, they were part of the foundation building of the church that Jesus performed around his time on earth prior to the development of the New Testament. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers are still very much present. Evangelists, of course, invite people in the kingdom to meet Jesus. They're wonderfully important and a wonderful blessing to God's people. We're going to focus more on the pastors and teachers. And most churches in Australia can be thankful that we have trained teachers and pastors within our communities. We can consider the teachers ranging from a Sunday school teacher to a Bible study teacher, maybe a wise mentor or a lecturer at a Bible college. Pastors, of course, are those who shepherd God's people. And that so many churches in Australia have these people, these pastors and teachers, should be a gift. This is a gift from God that we shouldn't take for granted. Because many churches around the world do not have this blessing. As we said this morning, Vanuatu has one trained pastor for every seven churches. And if you think for a moment of the Christian teachers and pastors you've had in your life and how they've shaped you, think of the people who've been influential in your walk with Jesus, who've blessed you, who've shared things with you, who've coached you. And praise God for them. But imagine your Christian journey without them. Gone too far. We should be very concerned for any part of the Christian body that claims it doesn't need a pastor. Before we go any further, Jack and Reuben didn't put me up to this. We're going to be talking a lot about the value and importance of pastors and teachers, and I had free choice. I chose this passage because I think this is something that is a real issue for God's people around the world. Because great teachers don't grow on trees. Faithful pastors can't just be plucked from the ground. And as a whole church, we need to be looking for the people that Jesus is seeking to provide to us, to identify them, to raise them up, to train them, to support them as they pursue the vocations of ministry. And now, whether that is to care for a four-year-old in Sunday school, teaching them the basics of Scripture, or to pastor a church of 4,000 people, we need to be looking and thinking and praying and caring for those that Christ has given us to equip his church to grow to maturity. Because that is the point that God gives us these leaders. It is, as we see in verse 12, to equip us for good works. It's not as some congregations would hope that the pastors would do the bulk of the work and that people can just turn up. It's not to do the bare minimum of work, as some false teachers would try and tell us. It's not, as we witness around the world in many places, for pastors to promote their own status. The role of pastors and teachers is to faithfully equip God's people for the acts of service for the building of the church, which is the body of Christ. And so we need to be careful about who we trust to teach us, whether that is someone to teach a youth group, whether that is a podcast we choose to listen to. But we need to carefully consider if that person's teaching is biblical. You can imagine the sense of shattering, crushing disappointment and concern when people listen to Peter's sermon in Acts 2 after Pentecost, when the church leaders that they had trusted, they discovered had crucified the God that they had been seeking to worship. We need to be asking, is the person we're following, is the sermon we're listening to or watching, growing us to the fullest measure of Christ? Because if it's not, if it's attractive to our ears but poisonous to our hearts, then we will not be equipped for the good works Christ has prepared us to do, and we will not be established to serve the kingdom. We won't be benefited to serve in unity. We will be distracted. We will be disappointed. We will be frustrated. We will be selfish. We do not have to blindly follow everyone who claims to be a guide. As we see in 2 Peter chapter 2 and 1 John 4, we can be testing them joyfully, appropriately, lovingly, humbly, but not accepting that every person who calls himself a teacher or a pastor. We must be asking, Are they drawing us to the fullest measure of Christ? Because the maturity that arises, the benefit to this, as Jesus says, doesn't just grow us individually. It builds us to serve in ministry together. Growing isn't just head knowledge. We don't read in the Bible that Jesus just sat and wrote. It's not just heart knowledge. We don't just hear about what Jesus felt. The text is specific. These leaders equip us in deeds, in service, so that we can do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We must be good students of Jesus and the people he prepares for us to equip us, laboring with them so that they can equip us in wisdom, knowledge, love, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Because by getting out and doing the ministry, by doing the service that God has prepared for us, we discover who the poor are. We discover who among us is struggling that we can love, who needs to be comforted, who in the community needs to be evangelized to. The role of our pastors and teachers isn't to do all of this ministry for us, it's to equip all of God's people so that we all can do ministry, and in doing that ministry, mature into who Christ wants us to be. And it gets better that as the body is built up, we will keep building up until we have unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son. This isn't just a pursuit of individual salvation. This isn't just about me or about yourself individually. It's not just about personal Bible reading or how many hours of prayer we can get into a day, though those are good things. That is a step. The goal, Paul, the person who wrote this letter, says, is that we, the entire gospel community, the people around us, the whole church, reach maturity together. That it's not enough for just a pastor or a teacher to be mature, but that we should all be yearning for this maturity. And so as we get excited when someone confesses faith or starts regularly attending, we can know that that's not the end point. We don't just hand them on like a production line to the pastor, going, I've invited my friend, they've come to church, I'm very excited, here you go. We labor with our pastors as they have equipped us so that we can walk and join with these new believers as they grow in maturity, as we grow in maturity, to become more and more like Christ in character, in thought, in word, in deed, in how we spend our time, in how we relate to one another as a community. And I hope you're starting to see the pressure that this puts on our pastors and teachers. James chapter 3, verse 1, we see that God will hold them to a higher standard of account, that good teachers would feel the pressure that sits upon them and the love they have for their flocks. And so I invite you again to care for your pastors and teachers, to love them as they labor for the church. Because as we serve together as a body, we also grow in friendship and in unity. When we see churches that are thriving, churches that are close, churches that are growing, you can almost always see the common trend is that it is people who are active in ministry together. Maybe they have an active working bee where they meet monthly. Maybe it's serving morning tea. Maybe it's participating in children's and youth ministry. Maybe they take regular short-term missions, such as a swim base up to the swim base in the Solomon Islands. When we work side by side, when we pray together, when we talk and share about our lives together as we do this ministry, we see each other growing and we notice when things are wrong. We notice when things are right and we can celebrate. And we enable ourselves to be more and more equipped to grow together. And this is the beautiful thing about the gospel. Jesus doesn't say, get unified, get equipped, and then you can join my people. He doesn't say there's a bar of entry to the door. Jesus says, I have done it. Come to me and I will feed you. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will welcome you into my family. I have people are prepared before you even arrive, before you even join them, that I have bestowed upon a challenge and a duty to equip you. People for you to journey with as brothers and sisters and to walk the narrow path with you and you will have them to grow with in love and relationship as you walk towards being in my kingdom together. The Bible is calling us not to be satisfied with a good enough faith or a Christian enough level of relationship with God, but to pursue the whole measure of fullness that we can obtain in Christ this side of heaven. And Jesus says that it is best done together as the entire church. And this is something that not everybody has. As Reuben just mentioned, in North Korea and in many countries around the world, Christians can't meet to have unity together without fear of arrest, reprisal, persecution. So yes, there are limits on how holy, how like Christ we can be, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Because what a waste to be able to have the characteristics of God and love with our brothers, but not uptake that until our arrival in heaven. In churches big, I'm sure there are many people serving often, many faithfully, and to you, I say well done. Let's celebrate the people who serve well. Keep going. But if you're burned out, then I say that God sees you and God loves you, and talk to your pastors and your teachers because they are equipped to serve you and to equip you. They want to care for you. If you're feeling on the outside, on the edges, disconnected, if you're feeling plateaued in faith, if you're feeling too busy to be part of serving, too tired, then I urge you, talk to your pastors and your teachers. See what serving needs to change. See what needs to be added. See what needs to be removed. But stay engaged in the body of Christ. Because what if we don't serve? What if we, like brothers or sisters in the global church, stop having access or stop choosing to access those that God has blessed us with? Around the world where spiritual training is lacking, people are deceived. Verse 14, even in Australia, we see many in churches. They're like ships with a shallow keel or lacking anchors. They drift easily. They fall victim to promises of a better gospel or greater material blessing. If they can just give enough, buy enough, fit in enough, then surely everything will be better. We see immature Christians being confused by what they hear on YouTube or a podcast, thinking that they're being equipped and not stopping to check if this is someone who praises Jesus and will equip them to grow to be Christ-like in the fullest measure, or if it will just equip them to grow in their own selfishness. Because they didn't have an anchor of maturity to hold them to the true teaching. They didn't have faithful people alongside them to warn them, to discourage them away from bad teaching. And the people who do this end up in trouble. They fight with their church. They fight with their family. They're prone to leaving wonderful careers or no gain. Because we know that Satan prowls like a roaring lion, ready to devour those who are adrift. And when we see a predator, the predator doesn't always target the strongest ones. The daily food for a lion is the weak and vulnerable on the outside, the one that's walking alone. So if we are intent on pursuing holiness with Jesus, then we should also be intent on pursuing and doing service and love and ministry with those around us, so we will not be blown about by trials and temptations, that we can be held to the anchor of Christ by our unity with each other. Verse 15, unlike deception, which lies to those who wander alone, unity grows as we speak the truth in love, growing into the body of Christ. And I think this is such a wonderful image that we can cling to. Different parts, the diversity of the community of faith, arms, legs, eyes, stomach, building itself up to do what Christ has called it to do. Different systems, an immune system, a gastrointestinal system, a nervous system, doing the work that God has prepared it with each other. But this doesn't happen by itself. It requires work. Love without truth is hollow. People can have a degree of love for one another, but without sharing honestly, without really saying how you're doing, without really talking, it's hollow. Rach and I used to do a lot of youth ministry, and a young woman we know dated a guy for a while. Things weren't going so well, and after a long time, she finally dumped him. And immediately, friends and family came forward and said to her, "We are so glad. He was terrible. We were so worried about you. Oh, from the minute we heard we were dating, we thought this was going to end badly." But none of them had ever said that to her beforehand. And since day one, she too had had questions about if this relationship was going to grow her in likeness to Christ, was going to grow her in her Christian faith. And had any one of these people said something to her, it would have avoided her so much heartache and so many problems. They loved her, but they weren't courageous enough to speak that truth. Likewise, truth without love can be quite harsh. Have someone else's kids give you an appraisal. We have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. Their friends are very happy to tell me what they think. My clothes are boring, I was told last week. We moved house and were quickly told that they liked our old house better. The new house isn't fun. There is a time and place to speak truth. We need to do it lovingly, but we do need to do it. But the way we know how to do it and when to do it is when we have deep relationships, the relationships that come from serving together. A friend of ours had someone they love deeply and respect say to them, "Hey, I'm worried for your health. I'm worried about where you're going to be in 10 years. I've booked you a doctor's appointment. Will you please go?" Hugely helpful. It changed that person's life. It's deeply loving. Was that hard? Yes. But they could do that because they'd been equipped and because they knew this person and they loved them. Someone else a year ago said to me, "When was the last time you played with your kids?" In the midst of working full-time, preparing, finishing off Bible college, getting ready for our mission trip to the college we have to train at, I had stopped Sabbathing and they'd seen it and they called me out on it. And they could do this because they'd spent years knowing how important it is to follow God's law because of the faithful teaching and equipping that they'd received from their pastors. They spoke the truth in love skillfully and wonderfully because of the journey that they'd had amongst God's people who'd grown them to maturity so that they could speak and minister to others. We are united, the whole body. Different gifts, different ministries, but we are held together by Christ, and we are commanded to build each other up in love. Love for the global church, love for the local church, to the ends of the earth and to our neighbours. We were called not to settle for a good enough faith. We're not called to just live in a kingdom and enjoy being in the kingdom without striving to develop it, to be contributors, to be using the skills that people desire to give us. We don't want to be workers that look all right at first glance, but are really just 2 6-year-olds in a trench coat. The way we interact with each other is directly observable to God, and that's most important. But it's also observable to the people around us. It says what sort of king we serve. It says what sort of people we claim Jesus to be. A kingdom of people who are saved and have the joy of Jesus, but fight, but don't serve or contribute, are frequently caught up in things which distract or detract or dishonor the gospel, that's not a light that shines Jesus' glory. A people who, through the Holy Spirit, raise up from among them teachers and pastors who God has chosen in advance, who are equipped for good works, who are unified and strengthened from years of serving together, who can resist challenges and trials and temptations by holding together in the unity of faith and love that they've developed. What a kingdom to show people God's love. What a kingdom to invite people into and walk alongside as they grow. That's the kingdom we long for. And we praise God that we can have that in the unity of the church through his son, Jesus. I'm going to pray to close if the music team wants to come up when we finish. Lord, we thank you that you have already completed the good works, that you go before us. Lord, help us to be equipped, raise up, strengthen and care for the evangelists, pastors and teachers you provide for us today. Help us to serve together, to partner with them, to grow in unity and strength, that we may have maturity in the fullest of measures, knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.